Hello, you are listening to a podcast by Maya Blake for Smoke Radio. This is the second episode of Iris 506.
The most influential humans in the existence of humanity. Oliver Cromwell, 1599 to 1658, leader of the parliamentarians in the English Civil War. Alexander Graham Bell, 1847-1922, Scottish inventor of the telephone. Alexander Fleming, 1881-1955, Scottish biologist who discovered penicillin. John Locke, 1632-1704, English political philosopher. Locke promoted a theory of liberal democracy and a social contract. Ludwig van Beethoven, 1770-1827, German composer of the classical and romantic period. Teresa Monique, 1998-2022, lead astrophysicist on the Mars Cohabitation Project. Louis Daguerre, 1787-1851, French artist and photographer who is credited with the invention of the camera. Simon Bolivar, 1783-1830, liberator of Latin America. Countries, Rien Descartes, 1596-1650, French philosopher and mathematician, I think, therefore I am. Michelangelo, 1475-1564, Renaissance sculptor, painter, and architect. Pope Urban II, 1042-2930, July 1099, influential pope who ordered the first crusade to the Holy Land. William the Conqueror, 1028-1087, first Norman king of England. Voltaire, 1694-1778, a key figure of European Enlightenment. His satirical writings played a role in the French Revolution. Enrico Fermi, 1901-1954, Italian-American physicist who created the first nuclear reactor. Oliver Washington, creator of the engineering genius algorithm optimization robots, later known as the EGOS program, credited with saving millions of lives.
Egos, cut that out.
Ending transmission.
The council can send that crap, but can't let me know when transmissions will be back online.
The council asks for residents' patience during this time.
I am tired of being patient.
Would you like to play a game? Perhaps play some calming music?
No. Do a system report. That should keep you busy.
Oxygen levels reading at 96%. Structure stability reading at 72%. Energy center levels are high and fluctuating. Transmissions between quadrant 4 and 5 are still out, with 1, 2, and 3 remaining as they have been for months. Food level for sustaining one human is at 250%. Human mental stability.
Okay, I get it. What did I tell you about psychoanalyzing me? I'm not some experiment.
Your well-being is my most important function.
I didn't ask for that.
You did not need to. Egos is here to help you.
I already have you. No need to get all propaganda on me.
Yes, Iris.
If it wasn't for Egos, I don't know if I would still be here. Her systems here run everything. If she went down, well, I guess I don't want to think about that. The Egos system is supposed to be unstoppable, but even perfection has flaws. A lot of systems were supposed to be unstoppable. See how well that ended?
Alert! The council warns residents several large tremors may disturb the area in the coming hours.
Great. First the wave and now this.
My senses assume only a 20% chance of possible structure instability from the earthquake.
Only 20%? Oh, goody.
Would you like me to flag the council for your assistance?
No. They would tell me to move and I'm not going.
This place will become unstable and it is recommended you join the others near the center.
No, my home was here. People are still here.
You have no proof of that.
I don't need it. I know. Do you ever wonder about the things that we weren't able to do before it all ended? Like first kisses and first crushes and dates. The first time you move in with someone and the first time you pay off your student loans, or the first time you lose someone, but because you drifted apart and not because of some horrible tragedy or some awful calamity, it was because you grew apart the way humans do. I think about that often. I think about my brother and how he was so young when this all started. I wonder if he's, you know, if they have him doing homework where he is, if they have him getting ready to go to learn somewhere else, or if they've just accepted that, well, that was the old way of doing things, and it is far too long to keep doing that the way that we used to do things. I think about my mom. I think about her so often. I wonder, you know, I really start to wonder what I could have done. I guess we all wonder what we could have done, what we should have been doing when, if we left the light too long, on too long, or if the water just kept running, and it maybe we should have turned it off, if maybe we should have stopped and talked to our neighbors, if we should have stopped driving our cars, if we should have went swimming in the ocean while we still could. I wonder about first times and where they belong now. If everything we do now is the first time, because it's the first time since it all ended, of course. Since the development of something new. Every time the council makes a decision, it is a first, because it's our first council, our first gathering of humans again, the way we redevelop ourselves after, during, whatever we're going through. I wonder about first times, about experiences we'll never have, about Disney World, about Disney World. I wonder where families will go when they can't just sit at home anymore. I wonder when they go mad inside of their containment facilities, whether they start banging on the walls, whether they sing songs, whether they dance. Do we even have families anymore? If every gathering of people who've decided that this is our people that we're going to have until the end, that's a family, right? I guess some people wouldn't agree. A family is a mother and a father and two kids and one dog. And people who aren't those things, well, they're not a family. They're just a gathering of people. A group, a special group maybe, but they're still just a group of people who have a few things in common, but they aren't blood. Blood is the most important thing of a family, right? But what do you do when it's just you and all your blood family has moved on? When you search for a new family, for new blood, for new experiences, for people you want to take to Disney World. There hasn't been a Disney World in some time now. There might still be a Disneyland, but in America, here, no. Places get Disneylands when they're paradises. They get Disney Worlds when they can afford to smile, to believe in magic. We stopped believing in magic a long time ago, I think. Kids stopped believing in Santa, stopped believing in hope. When the world gets kind of hopeless, like it is now, hopeless that things will turn out better, hopeless that you'll find someone, I stopped doing the calling outs, just letting myself run and run and run until maybe somebody will interrupt me and say, hey, I'm here, you know? This is Iris 506. listening, waiting for you to respond. It's kind of hard to do calling outs when you know no one's gonna respond. When the council tells you everything's fine, they're okay. You don't need proof of that. You need to move, Iris. You need to leave. I don't wanna leave. I can't. I have egos. I have my sustainment, and I can help others. Why leave yet? Why go out and try something new if I know that I'm as safe as I could be here? I hate that. I hate that I'm as safe as I could be here. I hate that all I have is Egos to respond to me when she is responding. Auto responses back on, Egos.
Yes, ma'am. How may I help you?
I think I might be going a little insane. She's there to stop that. Responds to me as if she was just another person on the street. I know she isn't. But does she? I guess I shouldn't really ask those questions. They tell you not to question the system, but to accept that Egos is there to help, that Egos is there to be with you. Accept that Egos will save your life when you are struggling. Accept that Egos is there. It's really hard to just accept things. Of course, you get used to things being the way they always were. But accepting something, that's hard. That's really, really hard. Humans are adaptable. They take change and they move with it. But accepting change? Oh no, they hate that. Humanity hates change. And for the last 20, 30 years, the world keeps on changing and we live in it. We live in this moment, surviving from day to day to day and hoping that we won't be alone much longer. Hoping that someone will say, it's okay, this is new, but we can make it normal. I think about it all the time, about new experiences and first times in Disney World, and I think about acceptance. I think about how we all knew that this was something that we would have to get used to, and a lot of people said, no, I'm not gonna get used to this. I'm gonna search out and keep searching and looking for something new. I'm gonna make it how it used to be. I'm gonna make our paradise that we promised we'd have. I got this, guys. That's what they said. That's what they believed in. But I haven't heard any news yet. Besides Egos, everything that the future promised us is still but a dream. I mean, we can communicate, you know, in ways that we have never communicated before. You can hear me, I think. And isn't that good? Isn't it amazing that we can still be just like we used to be? That we can still say hello? We can still say, hi, I'm here. I still exist. I'm still important. I still matter. I wonder, you know? I really desperately wonder about the future, about what we become when we are nothing. I wonder about Egos and what happens when her system shuts down and my system shuts down. I wonder about the future a lot. I wonder if we're gonna be okay. If we, as if Egos has a choice. I wonder. Hey, Egos.
Yes, ma'am. How may I help you?
We got any more tape?
A few stacks according to my sensors.
Okay. Okay, I think we're gonna do that again. I have another story about a community, about a family, about Disney World. There were these kids on my block. I remember them because they were 7 siblings, 4 boys and 3 girls. The oldest child was a daughter who was very beautiful and kind. I mean, they struggled, you know? Anyone would, there were 7 of them. But they were a family made of blood. They had a mother, a father, and 7 siblings. And they existed, you know? We all did, but it's really interesting the way that someone will leave their mark on you. I talked about the way that you build a community around a person, but I didn't talk about the way that a community will be built, who is made up of that community. And so this family made up the community, and their names were the Martins, and there were 7 of them, and they loved each other. They would do anything to help each other. They would go to church together. They would go to school together. They would wear matching clothes and take these funny family portraits together. It was like, even though they were struggling, they weren't perfect. They weren't rich. They still loved each other, you know, in a way that people love their family, but also more. The way that when you're down, you know that when you come home, there will be your big sister waiting to give you a smile. The way that you know that when you're struggling, your mother will always answer your call. The way that families are supposed to work, where one builds up one and builds up another until you are all flying. That's how the Martins were. And the oldest daughter, her name was Charisse Martin. And she had a dream of leaving the family and going to a bigger city, of a bigger person, making her name for herself outside of being the 7th Martin child. She wanted to be special. How special are you when you're in a family of 7 kids and a mother and a father who struggle to provide for you? How special could you be when there's one of you and there's another one of you and there's another one of you and you're just like them? You have the same nose, the same smile, and the same ears. Your skin tones may vary, but you look like that person. Her laugh is like your laugh. His way of speaking is like your way of speaking, and you are the same. There's no uniqueness in big families. There can't be. That brings separation. And in a big family like that, you have to be together. You cannot break up. You cannot move apart. When one goes down, the next must follow. It's all sustainability. What is sustainability when you're a huge family like that? What's sustainable for you is not sustainable for others, but what is surviving for you is just enough for someone else. And I think that the way that a lot of things went about at the end there, about who was responsible for what, who did what, people ignored the family while also simultaneously focusing on it. By pointing their fingers and saying, you're to blame. There was no one to blame but ourselves, but the people that came before us, but the people who refused to change when they were required to. Those are the people who are to blame. Not the families, not us. But anyway, the Martins, they were important to the family. They were important to the community because when you needed something, you could go over to Mr. Martin's house and he would have it. Even though you knew Mr. Martin had to provide for the kids, you knew Mr. Martin had to give away something to keep on providing for his children, you knew that he would smile at you, and you knew that he would give it to you when you needed it. Because Mr. Martin wasn't a bad guy. He was incredibly good, incredibly kind, and he passed that kindness down to his children. Almost all his children. Charisse was very kind and beautiful.
The names of the Martin children by order of age.
And then there was Charisse Sean. Martin. And there was Lily.
Martin.
And then there was
Lily
Gabby.
Martin.
And then there was Olivia.
Gabby
and
Martin. Olivia Martin. Eric Martin. Harry Martin Jr.
That kindness doesn't always get passed down. I mean, it almost isn't required to. You have one good kid, and out of the three of you, when there are three, that's all you need, you know? But when there are seven, and the kindness doesn't get passed down, and you're struggling to provide for them, and you're struggling to provide for yourself, and you're struggling to make a name and keep everyone safe, it gets hard. It gets hard for not only you and the Martins and the family. It gets hard for the neighborhood around them. It gets hard for the teachers who have to teach. It gets hard for the mother who takes care of them all. It gets hard to be a family in a good time period. It gets really hard when there's nothing left. The Martins live their day-to-day lives like any family does, surviving as best as they could. But when Mr. Martin died, passed away, it was like the family broke apart. And the same way that the neighborhood surrounded Miss Cardina, the same way the family surrounded Mr. Martin. And when Mr. Martin was gone, the family began to collapse too. And that is really hard to really take notice of. A neighborhood collapsing is noticeable. Watching a neighborhood disappear before your eyes is heartbreaking. Watching a family break, that's just human life. That's just struggle. That's just pain as it happens. And for a lot of people, that's all that's left. Once the family collapses, there's nothing more that we can do but breathe, but take it in. I wonder, you know, if I had had a good lifetime, if the Martins had had a good lifetime where Mr. Martin doesn't die, when the world doesn't end, do families stay together? Do they smile? Do they hug? Do they hold hands? Do they build themselves back up? Do they make their own? I had a friend who had her family. And sure, they weren't all blood, but they loved each other. And they were together for as long as they possibly could. But once you put that crack there in the family, it doesn't matter blood, water, thicker than skin. It begins to break apart. And Charisse moved on. And once the oldest left, so did the youngest follow. And soon, Olivia and Gabby and Lily and Sean and Henry and Eric were not there anymore. And Mrs. Martin was by herself. And what was once a family household of 9 people became a household of 1. And it hurts, I think. Because even though sometimes the household will come back, like Lily will pay a visit to her mother and she will say, "Remember when Dad used to?" And then they'll laugh. And they'll smile and they'll be as one. But that doesn't always happen. Sometimes big households, small households, they become a household of one. and all you are left with is yourself and the idea that maybe, just maybe, you can start over. You can build again. I think humans are obsessed with this feeling of starting over, of being something new. And I think we have to be, because becoming something new, becoming someone new, that gets harder every day when you're stuck in the same place, in the same four walls, in the same breathing background with egos.
Yes, ma'am. How may I help you?
Asking you, are you okay? Do you want a song? Or do you need to calm? Egos, I want my family back.
Well, my sensors indicate...
Don't tell me about the sensors. Tell me about my family.
I'm sorry, Iris. I'm not able to do that.
I know. I know you weren't. I wonder if the later models of egos are gonna have families. If they're gonna try to make her as human as possible. If they're gonna give her a heart. A way to say, I love you. I hope not. I hope that egos and us will evolve together. That as humanity takes her last steps, ego does too. Imagine leaving behind something you have nothing about. Leaving behind something without a heart. Leaving behind something that only wanted you to survive and failed. I guess that's pretty harsh once you put it like that. Pretty harsh to say that egoses and the systems that we build are just meant to die out with us. I hate it. I hate that the Martins broke apart. I hate that Mr. Martin had a family and that when he left, the family left with him. I hate that we set up in these boxes and these categories and these groups, knowing that nothing lasts forever. And we can't stop ourselves. We can't stop ourselves from saying, hello, family. I've missed you. I love you. I need you to be here with me. I am lonely and sad and heartbroken, and you're part of me. Blood, heart, water. I need you. It's hard to say those things when you're by yourself, when all you have is the recorder and a tape. And the idea of a family who used to go to Disney World, who used to smile down the block. And then that when they left behind an empty house, an empty neighborhood, a rolling, rolling darkness across the air. It's hard, you know? The later the stories get, the way that you can't tell who ended and who didn't. When you don't know whether or not Miss Martin still sits in that empty house, staring out the window, wondering when her daughters and her sons will come home. Whether you don't know whether Charisse ever got her big dream, if she ever got to take what she wanted and not provide for someone else. When you wonder if the youngest sibling remembers their father, remembers the way his smile warmed the room, remembers Christmas and opening presents and staying warm by a fire. You wonder if this concept of family is beginning to become outdated. What do we define a family as if they are so easily broken? What becomes of groupings like that when they can leave just as quickly as they arrived? Blood is thicker than water, but the covenant is thicker than the blood of the womb. That means that friends that you make families that you build, they make you. They're a part of you. Yeah. The Martins were a part of the community. They made part of the community. They made families. They made love. And they thought that love would save them. And when it didn't, when it broke them apart, when their grief became more overwhelming than their ability to love each other, that they split, it makes you reminded that love is not conditional. But love can drown you. Love can overwhelm you. Love can make you cry. Love can make you desperately sad. Love can fill you up. Charisse can come home and say, "Mom, I'm here. I've missed you." And Miss Martin can say, "My beautiful daughter, how I've missed you." And they can hug. And the warmth of the smile of the family can come back. The warmth of being by a fire, the warmth of Christmas, of opening presents, the warmth of magic that comes with being young and believing in the hope of the future. It can come back when you grip the hand of someone you love. It can come back when you need someone you love. Love is more powerful than anything. It can hurt, it can harm, it can heal. Love. Families, first times and first experiences, they're all connected. They're all fleeting. They're all ephemeral. When you start to list them out like that. But then you can also sit up and you can look outside of your window and you can smile and you can say, "Hello, son. I've missed you. I love you. I need you." Yos, I want to go outside.
You know that's not possible.
I know. I just think about it. I think about breathing in the air and the air, the pollution. I think about smiling, you know, with the sun on my face. I think about hearing the animals, about acknowledging the world as it used to be. I think about it all the time. It drives me mad, kind of. Humans weren't meant not to go outside, I think. We can evolve as much as we want, but you can't take us away from nature, can't take us away from the sun and the sky and the beauty of life. You can't do that without hurting us, without breaking something in us. It's why we need families and why we need friends and why we need to talk to someone every now and then, or else we'll go insane. We can't just all have egoses. I'm lucky, I think. Sometimes she gets on my last nerve. But sometimes I'm glad egos is here. I don't feel so lonely when she's talking back to me. I feel a little powerful knowing that she's trying to grant my every wish. I want to tell her, "Hey, egos."
"Yes, ma'am. How may I help you?"
"I want to go to Disney World."
"Disney World shut down in 2014.
"Yeah, I know. I think about it. I think about the water. I think about swimming. Every kid learned how to swim after a second. We kind of had to. It's one of those things that, like, those irrational things that everyone should know how to do, but you know that even if you know how to do it, if you actually need to do it, like, it'll be over. But I miss it so much. I tinker around in, like, the station, and I try to come up with things that'll let me go back outside, and I know that I might fail, that there might be nothing left, and that's okay. It makes me sad. The outdoors is a little more than a dream to me, but I think about her. I miss her. I miss magic. I miss the magic that came with walking up a mountain and looking at the horizon. I miss the magic that came with stepping outside and seeing a flower grow up through the crack in the concrete. That's a lot more common now. I miss the magic. That wasn't immediately explained by Iris. That wasn't immediately explained by egos. I miss the magic of love, of friendship, of family. I miss it all. Egos? Open up the transmissions.
Opening up transmissions.
Hello, this is Iris 506. If you're out there, I just want you to know you're not alone. I'm here. I'm talking, waiting for someone to respond. If you read me, copy. This is Iris 506. Does anyone, Quadrant 5, copy? I don't know what I expected. But a girl can dream, right? Egos. Egos, what is that?
Alert. The council warns residents that several tremors are coming from the southwest. Alert. The council warns that several tremors are appearing from the northwest. Please take shelter. It is dangerous.
Egos, what do we do?
Running structural protocols. There is a 75% chance of structural insecurities after the tremors have resided. Take shelter.
What does that mean? Egos, you said 25% earlier. What does that mean? Egos, please.
Take shelter. Take shelter. Running structural protocols.
Egos. Egos, please.
It will be okay, Iris. Don't worry.
Egos, I'm scared.
Take shelter. Take shelter. Take shelter. You are not alone, Iris. You have me.
Hello, you are listening to a podcast by Maya McCullum entitled Iris 506 with Smoke Radio. This is our very second episode of Iris and Egos and their experiences in this post-apocalyptic world. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.